Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Babies.
Babies.
Yes, sir-ski.
What's up, y'all? What's happening? We back. Another episode, you know, switching up a little bit. You know, we're doing our top five albums of the year. We got a couple things to talk about right before we hop into that. Of course, we got to do our intros. I got to see how my boy AC is doing. How you doing, AC? How's it
gang,
going,
gang,
bro?
Gang.
Well, bro, you know, I'm doing cool. I'm doing cool. Can't complain. School started. You know, I wish it was still summertime, but
hey. Oh, fuck school.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, summer's over, but really, what did we really do during the summertime? We're quarantining. So, I mean, you know, I can't really complain, but overall, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome, bro. I would ask how Ray Love is doing, but this nigga's gone.
Hey,
oh,
no.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. How you doing, man? You looking mighty happy today.
I'm good. I've been chilling. You know, I've been playing Apex. A new season's out. If y'all want to sweat, hit me up on the Xbox. You feel me? I've been grinding. Getting back ready to probably go back to work. The NBA playoffs is going on.
Yes, sir.
My birthday wasn't too long ago, so I've been in a good mood. I've been chilling, enjoying life at this point, just trying to stay positive. You feel me?
That's all you can do now.
No, no.
We ain't going to talk about that.
I ain't got no hoes, bro. I'm a man of God. I ain't got no hoes.
Shit.
Hey, but Deadly, I got to check in on you. I got to see what's up. You know, now that you move, now that you, you know, you prospering out there in Seattle, you feel me?
Oh, yeah, for
How's your mental?
You know, those of y'all that don't know, I moved. I'm up here now in Seattle. Wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not, but, you know, just pulled the trigger, said, fuck it, why not? It's really nice up here. It's really nice. It was kind of hot. Definitely not as hot as California, but I'm getting settled in. I'm getting back into my routine of things. A lot of nice women up here. You know, shout out the ladies.
How many strippers you got now?
Nick, you can't go to strip clubs right now. It's quarantine still.
They come to you.
In quotation marks.
Yes, they gotta have like Zoom strip club sessions. Soon, bro. That's what they're gonna be doing. Lee gonna be a part. Yeah. Deadly gonna be a part of that shit. Yeah. He gonna be on that shit.
Give me in that. Give me.
It rained digital hundreds.
Nigga, that's called a chat room with what are those girls? Webcam girls that already exists. Like,
why you know about it, huh? You giving us?
Who doesn't know what a webcam girl is?
Nah, but you just had to bring that up when we was talking about strip clubs. You had to be like, yes, that's a webcam girl. You know what I'm saying,
bruh? Ray trying to expose people today.
Bro. I'm not trying to expose nobody. I'm
you brought
love.
Up strippers, AC. I don't know what you talking about. You was gassing first.
Yeah, you want to.
Anyways. So we are talking about it a little bit. So who y'all got for NBA playoffs this season? Who y'all picking?
Hey, I don't know, but hey, Dame looking nice right now.
Did you just watch that last
game? I watched the second game. The second game was whack.
Yeah. Brett, don't
tell me you a Lakers fan now. You a Lakers fan?
I'm a Cavs fan. I'm supporting the Lakers because I want Bron to get a chip. That's what I'm a Cavs fan, but we asked. We ain't doing shit. We just got like the fifth pick, you know. Failures, you feel
Buns.
Me?
Warriors got number two, baby.
All right, fuck
Let's
you,
go.
Nigga. No one cares. No one, what are y'all doing? Y'all gonna win?
We about
y'all
to trade that for Clippers. Joel Embiid or Giannis.
I swear, Warriors fans are wild, bro.
We not gonna beat the Clippers when we get a healthy roster, bro, with the number two pick.
You saying we like you've been supporting the Warriors. I don't remember you ever supporting the Warriors. They see now that they back. You ain't saying one thing about the Warriors all year.
Stop hating.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. You know I've been supporting the Warriors.
Who's catching the dub? Who's winning it all?
I think, you know, I'm going to go with my heart and just say that I want Bron to win a chip, so Lakers going to win the chip. But I can see the Clippers win their chip, to be honest.
You know? Lakers having a hard time with Portland, bro.
They just blew them out by, like, 30.
How come they lost the first game?
Okay, the Clippers lost the game. And they could have lost the first game too if they didn't kick out Porzingis.
You know who isn't losing though?
Who?
My Rockets. Let's go.
You think Houston, get out of here, bro.
Houston. If Houston gave the Warriors problems with KD, Houston could give Bron and his Lakers problems. No doubt in my mind. No doubt.
All right, bro. We'll see about that.
Who's going to stop James Harden?
Who's going to stop LeBron?
PJ Tucker.
Who's going to stop AD? That's the big question. PJ Tucker stop AD?
Probably not, but who else is going to score on that team? You going to get Danny Green to score? You going to get Contavious?
Don't get me talking on Danny Green.
You know the Rockets got a deep-ass team, right? You've been watching the games?
Yeah, but they've been beating the Thunder. They've been doing their job.
And the Thunder are nice. Thunder are nice.
But let's not act like when they play a real team, it's going to be real hard because they ain't got no big. They have literally no big.
Small ball, baby. That's the Warriors' formula right there. So
I don't know about that.
But y'all done. Going to send a couple shots at your feet. I'm going to shoot you in the feet like Megan.
Boom.
Man, something else I just want to talk about today, just briefly. Megan Thee Stallion confirms on her Instagram Live that she was indeed shot by Tory Lanez. She was indeed shot, and she kept silent for a month because, well, initially she did not say who had shot her because the police had come up. And isn't it crazy how she felt more safe by not telling the police who shot her than telling them and then having that situation escalate because just how the police handle situations, how poorly they handle shit. It's pretty fucking funny.
Wow.
But she held them down for a whole month. Tory Lanez started lying about the situation, and then Megan has to come out and confirm that it was indeed true. She got shot by Tory in both feet, and now people are calling her a snitch. What are y'all thoughts on this snitch situation? Y'all think I think it's pretty obvious, but y'all think that Megan's a snitch or what? Go ahead.
Police run up on you, you can get the yapping.
Is that all you gotta say? Elaborate. Can you elaborate on that?
My lyric is a 6-9. I said, police run up on you, you'll get the yapping. Police run up on me, I'm gonna get the clapping.
We don't know 6-9, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't know who that is no more.
Just this, bro. We're in the same category.
Even though she waited a whole month?
Bro, what?
She protected that nigga.
Bro, so, nah. Look, honestly, I don't do the whole snitching thing, bro. I think she did what she needed to do.
Facts.
I mean, she had ain't no harm to Megan Thee Stallion, bro. Like, what did she do wrong? She didn't do nothing wrong.
Nope.
White shot her in the foot. She said, who shot her in the foot?
Yup.
That's simple.
Facts, B.
Good.
I just think it's a weird situation because, you know, you have one side of people like, yeah, she did the right thing. That's all it is. And then you have the other side like, she a snitch. Da-da-da-da. She shouldn't have done that. When really, as Deadly was saying, she waited. She didn't really even make a statement. Like, it was all up in the air. It was basically based off reports. And then recently I started to see that people were saying that they got into an altercation and maybe she hit him. Or that it was really just glass and it wasn't even a bullet. So I feel like there was narratives coming out that weren't the truth, and she just had to set the record straight because he's obviously either trying to get less time or just trying to save face. He shouldn't be able to save face if it comes at a consequence of her image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid situation. I see a lot of people comparing. There was a few like Instagram videos, people comparing like 6ix9ine and Megan. Oh, you think Megan, or if you think 6ix9ine was a rat, but you don't think Megan is, bitch, you a rat. You're a rat because you don't think Megan's a snitch. First of all, Megan Thee Stallion is purely a rapper entertainer. 6ix9ine is the one who decided that he was going to live by the street code or whatever and be a part of a gang. That's how he propped up his image. Megan didn't do all that. Megan is a pure entertainer, pure rapper. She was in the car with somebody else and she got shot in the feet by this other person. And she didn't tell the police for a whole month. And you gonna call her a snitch because of that? I mean, that's just fucking, that's fucking stupid. I mean, do we call wives when they get domestically abused, we call them snitches? Is that what we do now? We're victim shaming? No, not fucking, no. It's stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Megan, you're my queen. Please DM. Hit.
This dude, bro. The fact that she said she was, all she was trying to do was walk away from an argument. He just pulled out his gun and just said, pop, pop. Just dude. Like, he was on some drugs or he just didn't give a fuck. And the fact that some people were even defending him when this information first came out and was trying to act like that people were tripping and like trying to call him out when really this is what happened. He just deserves to either be punished or he deserves to get talked shit about. Because he shouldn't be able to get away with shooting a rapper, a peer in the foot that really wasn't that serious from her point of view. And it's just like he just decided to take it and shoot her. That could have put her really in harm's way. Luckily, it didn't hurt her as bad as it did. Like, she just got foot damage, but it's traumatizing either way. So it's stupid, bro. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He probably was on drugs or something, bro.
He was high off that quarantine radio high, man. He was feeling himself. He felt he was on top of the world. He was like, I'm on the same tier as Megan Thee Stallion. And he was on that What's Poppin' remix. Damn, man. Tory high off life.
Deadly gassing Tory right now.
Well, his career's gone, so for the foreseeable future.
We'll see. There might be still people dumb that support him. That's what I'm saying. Like, people were already trying to kind of support him and or act like nothing happened. So, I mean, at this point, it's confirmed. Ridiculous. Unless he comes out with some proof that she's lying, which I feel like he's not going to do. I feel like that's totally out of pocket. Like, especially if he is, if she's telling the truth, like, you're done, bro. Like, there's no point in making a statement. No point in denying it. You look stupid. It'll either make you look more stupid, especially if you don't have no evidence to say she's lying.
So, his career ain't over, though. I'm not gonna cap. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. His career is not over. So y'all say it is. I don't think it is. I mean, look at the past history. Not with Tory Lanez, but just in hip hop in general. Look at Chris Brown. He beat Rihanna.
Well, Tory is not gonna get jail time? You think?
Oh no. I'm not saying. I'm saying after the fact. I think, you know, whatever his consequences when he comes back, I think he'll be all right.
Well, a lot of rappers we've seen with jail trouble haven't really, you know, been at the foreground, especially people that are hot. I mean, there's people that have been hot that have gone to jail and then they've completely cooled off. I mean, fuck, 6ix9ine completely cooled way off. Kodak has cooled off every time he's come out of jail. He hasn't really, like, popped off since he's – every time he's popped out of jail. So it's like, what? You think Kodak was popping off last time he came out of jail, Raylo?
No, I'm just saying. You said 6ix9ine, bro. I mean, honestly, every time he drops a track, bro, his viewership is 100 mil mil in like a day.
Did you listen to Punani? Did you hear about Punani? That shit was ass. It didn't. I mean, he gets plays. He gets plays, but that's it's not. It's dropping every time now. When he first came out, the gimmick was I'm out. Now that the gimmick has kind of died off, of course he's going to still get hella support because I guess he has a crazy fan base at this point, but every time it's dropping and we'll see how that goes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the music is good. Like, that's not my argument. My argument is not, bro, they're good and they just need to stay on top. Nah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tory doesn't have that fan base.
No, he didn't have Chris Brown.
That's the difference. He doesn't have the fan base of Chris Brown, of 6ix9ine, of, you know. Even Bobby Shmurda, bro, he don't have that type of fan base. But we'll see what he can do. Like, you know, speaking of people getting out and seeing if their career still is where it was before incarceration, let's see how Bobby Shmurda pans out when he gets out.
Hopefully for the better, man. I love Bobby Shmurda. Another thing that we got to talk about real quick, you know, just a little track review real quick. I just want to know what y'all feel about Drake season coming up. A little bit of laugh now, cry.
I'm in the trenches, relax.
Hey, the single was hard.
There's no boy in the club because we do not listen to rats.
Hey, I messed with the single.
It was fire, and bro.
The visual, huh?
It was fire.
Yeah, it was. I can't cap. And the visuals was hard. It was. I, you know.
Dirt killed that.
He did.
Dirk came on a Drake track and killed that shit.
He did.
What do you think, right? What do you think, right?
It was a cool track. It wasn't anything crazy to me. It was solid. The visuals were cool. I thought the visuals were dope. It enhanced the track. Without the visuals, the track kind of got repetitive to me. I thought the beat was going to change or something. I don't know. Like, but it was solid. Like, Drake did his little, you know, singing, rapping thing. Lil Durk was the highlight of the track to me, even though he had, like, a really short verse. Like, he came in and killed it. So in the NBA playoff, they have a little part of it, and they play Lil Durk's part. I feel like Lil Durk's part is a part that really sticks out, and it's crazy. I mean, I don't know.
I think it was the best part, but I think the Drake track in general was just – it was really good. And I like the trumpets in the back. I mean, it reminiscent of just, like, Drake sound in general, where you got those trumpets in the back. And I thought the instrument was cool. Wasn't like doing too much, but you know, he did a lot with his voice and just changing it up a little bit, you know, slowing down, speeding up. And then Dirk coming on completely killed the monotony of the track. It just kind of spiced it up entirely for me. So I think it's a good listen every time I listen to it. So,
but that's what I'm saying. You said the monotony, like, it's just Drake. Yeah,
but like
Drake's not doing nothing different. No, Certified Lover Boy. This is not crazy. Like, it's nothing new.
But like
Ray Hayden.
Yeah,
I need something new with me, man. Or you got to do it crazy. Like, that was it. Wasn't crazy. We just literally said Lil Durk was the best part of a Drake track. That should not be the case.
Look, sorry, Lil Durk.
Come on, if Kendrick make a track and someone else is the best part of a Kendrick track, I'm gonna be disappointed. So, but maybe I look at Drake differently than y'all.
Come on,
man. I'm not saying y'all. See, now y'all trying to make me the hater here. I said it was a solid track.
The hater, because
I look at it critically. That's how I look at it. That's how it is. It's not me hating. I'm trying not to be that guy. You guys are making me hate. I hate y'all niggas. Nah, I literally said it was a solid track. There's nothing new from Drake. I just want something new. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, man. He's gonna give you a 20 track album of just R&B hits. That's what you're gonna get.
No, nigga.
I have a feeling that's what Certified Lover Boy is gonna be. I'm gonna be honest with you, and I'm kind of disappointed about it. Whatever. Anyways, get past that. We're gonna talk about our top five Fizzow Bow Wow top. Of the halfway point.
Top five 2020 albums of the year. Who has what it takes to make the hip hop babies top?
All right. So, how we gonna start this, bro? Let them know, Deadly. How we doing it?
Hold on 1 second.
I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see what y'all got. You know,
there you go.
I don't know what y'all. I think y'all gonna give me some wild cards. Y'all gonna throw something in there. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
my five. You gonna be mad about?
No, bro. Why you want me? I feel like you made the list just to piss me off.
No, I didn't. You're not going to like it. You're not going to be mad about it, but you're not going to think it's top five material. Bro, here, Deadly, you want me to explain it, bro? I'll just explain how we're going to do it. We're going to break it up.
Go ahead.
All right, so Hip Hop Babies, top five, mid-year. You know, we're going for the albums of the year, mid-year here. We're going to break it down. That's how we're going to break it down. So we have AC, Deadly, and Ray, we're going to go around and we're going to give our top five albums of the mid-year. So I will get up off five. Ray will give off his top five. Deadly will give off his five. And then we'll go down to 4, 3, 2, and 1. We'll just go around and discuss a little bit about what we think and give a little bit of, you know, criticism or give a little bit of details why we considered that to be number one or number five. You know, this is how we're breaking it down.
Yeah.
I just said that just to say that.
All right. Sorry. I was texting my house. Sorry. Full-time job.
Yeah, bro.
That's what he meant by he said he was going back to work.
Yeah, my bad. Anyways, AC summed it up pretty well. So, who would like to give their first number five album with the halfway point of the year?
2020? Let me go first. I think we should do in the same order.
So we'll every time?
Me, Deadly, and then Ray.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so my five is Circles, Mac Miller.
Wow, okay.
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 That's a solid pick. I'll let that slide.
Don't let it slide. So we're picking this, you know, Mac Mac for me was a different artist in terms of like, you know, what I traditionally listen to. So I had a sort of connection with his sound and how he came on, you know, a beat. So sometimes he would come in and he rap, and sometimes he'd slow it down and have a little bit of singing in it. And so I just felt like this was a perfect mix. It was a little slower in terms of what he normally does. You know, I know as you watch his, you know, transition from where he started to where, you know, obviously he ended, he went more of like a rappy high school type sound to like a more, you know, grown up, mature sound. And I appreciate the growth, and I just see it in his, in this album. So that's why that's number five for me.
Honestly, I love Circles so much, and it could honestly be in my top five if there wasn't so much good music that came out this year. I haven't really been like the biggest Mac fan my entire life, but Circles is definitely something that I go back to and deeply appreciate. Good News, Blue World, Hand Me Downs, all beautiful tracks. The instrumentals are gorgeous throughout this. And I think that Mac has really, you know, succeeded in his light tone, singy kind of voice. It's kind of like, it's not like a super pretty singing voice, but it's not like something that you're going to roll your eyes at, because he just lays it over the instrumental so perfectly. He's really found his sound in this album, which is really sad, but also like amazing that this is the last piece that we got from him is something that's so amazing. So I agree that this should definitely be in a top five.
Yeah, I have no argument, man. I the only reason why I didn't put it in is just like Dudley said, there were so many other projects that impressed me, and I ain't gonna lie to y'all, like, it's not like I forgot about it, I haven't really gone back to it, maybe because it was kind of sad to listen to. So it's like every time I go back to it, it's just like it's a certain vibe that it puts me in. And also, I don't know, man, when I go back to Mac, I don't know, maybe it's just me personally, I always go back to like Faces. Like, that's my, I know Dudley doesn't really fuck with that project, I don't think, but Faces is my favorite project by him still. So damn, got, AC, I'm surprised.
You got Ray Love crying, bro.
Damn, I'm surprised, AC. I'm surprised by that. But that's a good five right there. That's a good number five right there.
You know, Deadly's the Toxic King, so I got to give you my Toxic King at number five. We got High Off Life by Future at number five.
I knew it was gonna be some garbage. I knew
this nigga, bro.
I don't even care. I will call.
Let's go, nigga. Bring me the wrath.
You put Future in your top five. You talked about Mac. You just said there was so much good music that came out this year already, bro. I just couldn't put Mac in my top five. But you put Future in it? Future. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
2005.
Let's hear him out. What impressed you about this Future?
2005. I'm dead.
What impressed you about High Off Life?
High Off Life for me was not an instant. I didn't instantly fall in love with it. I did, like, initially, like, I was like, okay, this is really good. And then when we went to go do our album review of it, I kind of gave it a bad review because I thought there were too many tracks in between that just didn't hit for me. Now, going back to listen to it a bunch more times, Future is one of my most played artists of the year. I love Future to death. Going back to listen to it a lot more times, I realized that most of the songs on here just hit. Even the songs where I thought, you know, lacked songwriting and just were kind of repetitive, the energy that Future brings to each and every track is just amazing. You know, he perfectly balances the flashiness, the talking about the struggle, talking about, you know, his brand where he basically dogs hoes all the time. All this stuff, all the topics are perfectly balanced. The instrumentals are really nice, really compliment him. The production throughout is solid. I don't think that any of the features really missed. I think Youngboy or Young Thug were competing for my least favorite. I think there's plenty of times in this where Future has given a flow that we haven't heard before from Future, and he has changed it up enough to keep it interesting. I just think it's a solid project all around.
Okay.
21 songs and not much filler on there. I think it was maybe like two filler songs for me.
Yeah.
Out of
life.
Yeah.
Man, I was hype as far as, like, I was like, yo, let's see if this album's fire. it just let me down as far as, like, I was expecting him to come in hard, especially because it's called High Off Live. I'm like, he going to bring the energy or he going to do something.
He did, though. He did come off hard.
All right, bro.
The first four tracks, bro. You got well, Trapped okay. in the Sun, High Tech Tech, Touch the Sky, and then Solitaires. That is, like, four of the hardest tracks. Okay,
but then after that, it fell off in the middle. For me, in the middle, it just lost its luster because he started dropping some tracks that I did, can't really vibe with heavy.
I think, yeah, I think Riding Strikers and Posted with Demons are my two least favorite songs. And that's where it really started to fall off for me. But, you know, he really picked it back up with Hard to Choose One. Then you got Trillionaire, Harlem Shake. And then that's where it's like, I don't know how I'm feeling about this. But then you got Up the River, Pray for a Key, Too Comfortable, All Bad, Outer Space Bitch, Accepting My Flaws. Like, bro, you just got banger after banger after banger after banger on this thing. And it's got, like, you got different moves on here too. So 20 tracks is justified to me because of the different, like, topics he explores. Right.
Okay. I see your points. We had this little debate, you know, I was crapping on it a little bit. So, you know, my opinion, but I see your points. If you're a Future fan and you wanted Future to go back to a certain sound, or you didn't, or you just wanted a different vibe from him, or you expected a certain vibe from him and you got that, you would love this project. That's how it is. I get it.
All right. And before Ray Love gives his number five, I'm going to give it for you. It's the 100 Gex album.
No, it's not, nigga. Fuck you. Why are you doing this to me, bro? You wish so you could gash my ass. Like,
oh, not- I would flame you if that was in your top five. Go ahead, though.
All right. So, my number five is Bodie James and the Alchemist, The Price of Tea in China.
Okay. All right.
Now, this was my favorite project at the beginning of the year, and it's the plays reflect that. I think I played this the second most. My Apple Music says I played this the second most out of any album.
Mm-hmm.
I love this album. Damn near all the tracks. There's no misses on it to me. Even the tracks that I like more than the – even the tracks I like less than the others, it's not necessarily their misses. It's just like the highlights on this album hit so hard for me. Surf and Turf, Vince Staples. I haven't heard Vince Staples on that shit. Like, grimy. It reminded me of Summertime 06. Like, him and Alchemist need to do an album or a little, or at least a track together on his next album, because that was a good vibe for him. I feel like he came in with the scripture. Look, mama, no hands. Like, it was crazy. Then he leads in with Run-Ins. I love that sample. That's like damn near arguably Run-ins. My favorite track. Like, I just love the way he flows on this shit. And Bodie James, he paints vivid pictures with his rhymes about what he was doing. Whether it was selling drugs, whether it was trapping, whether it was on a mission, whether it was taking care of something, family drama. It he gives it all on this album, man. Escape the Bull, Benny the Butcher, Snort, Freddie Gibbs, the features all kill it. He even got the – and then he dropped the deluxe version. And the deluxe version had a lot of good bonus tracks. I mean, all the bonus tracks hit for me. They were solid. So him and the Alchemist made a great album with this one.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's why I'm about to just give you a little preview. This is already my number four. This is my number four album. I put it above High Off Life. So, you know, Bodie James. I would put somebody else from Griselda. I could definitely put somebody else from Griselda on here. However, the surprise of the year for me was Bodie James and how much I liked that album off the initial. I think it was at the time I was listening to Tupac, and then right after I just put on Bodie James and I was like, damn, who the fuck is this nigga? Is this Tupac still? No. Don't sound like him. His voice perfectly matches the grit in the entire album. He had the Alchemist producing for him, so there's literally nothing to complain about beat wise. The beats were amazing all the way through. And you know, like he was saying, his storytelling is just phenomenal throughout.
Yeah.
He gives you bars. Like, there's nothing else you can want from a hip-hop album, honestly, than what Price Tea in China gives you. So definitely check that out. AC, what do you think about it? What's your thoughts, bro?
Am I giving you my four? Because you just gave your four.
Oh, okay. If you want to, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump right into my four. So my four is A Written Testimony.
What?
That's my four.
What? Why? AC hit me with haymakers. This list is actually solid as fuck, bro. What is this, bro? I didn't expect anyone to put that. Hold up. I want to hear this breakdown.
That's my four. So, I mean, when we gave the breakdown of the album when it first dropped. Oh, all right. Well, my bad. When we gave the breakdown of the album when it first dropped, I remember the complaints being that, you know, this is really isn't Jay Electronica's best. That's what y'all were saying. It's mainly a Jay-Z album. But I think they worked great together, honestly. I personally can go back to it. I think it has replay value. I think the beats on the album is dope. I just think that overall it's a good album. I enjoy listening to it. It has some tracks on it where it's like slower. It has some tracks on it where it's upbeat. Tempo's high, but you know, got you bouncing a little bit, get you going. You know, good features on there, like the Travis Scott, the Blinding. You know, that actually changed from my third favorite song on the album to it's fighting for number one. I still got to give number one to Universal Soldier, but that's just me. But the Blinding was really good. I mean, it just has great songs on it. You know what I'm saying? And the great features. So that's why I give it. That's why I give it to my number four spot. That's number four for me.
Okay, that's that was unexpected. I would never expect you to put Jay Electronica album on there just because I don't remember you high on it, like as far as praise wise. But that's what I'm saying. Like that's why I love this, because this was an album I was hyped for. I was like, yo, like this is gonna be so dope, and it was dope. But I just expected more from it, and it's dope that you got a lot from it, because Jay Electronica doesn't really miss as far as bars wise. I just feel like Jay-Z just did his thing on another level. But I mean, that's comparing yourself to a GOAT, though. And I think that's why people kind of forgot about it, because he got a GOAT on there. And some people say he outperformed him. Some people were making jokes, as AC said, is this Jay's album, Jay-Z's album? Nah, Jay Electronica held his own. It's a solid project. It's a dope ass project.
Yeah.
Maybe Jay.
I just, for real, I think, you know, that's what makes this podcast so special, is that I feel like we give each other ideas, we give each other new music or whatever, you know, different perspectives. And so, like you said, going into the review, the initial review of this album, yeah, I wasn't really so, like, I listened to it and I gave you my, you know, my P's and Q's about it. But then, you know, after listening to what your guys' opinion was and going back and taking again and listening to it again, you know, you get a whole different perspective about a song, about an album. So, you know, like I said, going back and re-listening to this album, I really did, you know, enjoy it. So that's why it's my number four.
Yeah, Deadly, what you think? You was kind of shitting on people for listening. You were like, who listens to this anymore? So I want to hear your take.
I think it's cool. Overall, I think what y'all said were really, really valid points as far as how the album is. And I think the initial criticisms were obviously a little bit unfair, because people were expecting so much from Jay Electronica when this dropped. Now, we didn't really get exactly what we wanted from it, but we still did get some really cool chemistry between Jay Electronica and Jay-Z, even though Jay-Z, I think, took over the album. But that's just what Jay-Z does. Jay-Z is one of the best. He's obviously a top five hip-hop artist of all time, and I don't think anybody can really compete with him. I think it does have some replay value. Like, I go back and listen to it every now and then, but it's not like something that's crazy up there for me. So it's just, you know, not in my top five, but I respect it. I respect it.
Ray, what's your number four?
My number four is Arm & Hammer Shrines.
Yeah, it is, baby.
Yes. You know me, I gotta have my weird underground Billy Woods, elusive shit. And this was higher on my list at first. Like, this list was actually really hard for me to make. We're definitely gonna have to do a top 10 later in the year, because there were so many dope ass projects, and this one was fighting with another project that I really like. But I had to put it in there because I've played this album so much. I love it. It was definitely my vibe. See, I think quarantine definitely has affected the way I listen to music, because I would just be in the house, and it totally was that quarantine revolutionary music. And at the time, the Black Lives Matter movement was pushing forward hella strong. It was everywhere, and this music definitely like put that in the forefront in my mind. Billy Woods doesn't miss.
Nope.
Like he just paints these dark ass pictures, bruh. And I just feel like he needs to get more credit. Everything, the deepness of the album, the cover, the features. Earl Sweatshirt did his thing. Rap Forever, Quelle Chris. You guys know how I feel about Quelle Chris. He's on a roll. Yeah, it's just a dope project for underground heads.
Definitely. I don't think you're going to get much more credit as Billy Woods just because I don't think that his music is all that palatable. But I think that if you are going on a stream trip and you were looking for an album to listen to fuck you up, Billy Woods has about three that came out in the past 2 years that will all do the same thing. They're all amazing. They're trippy. He has very trippy instrumentals and deliveries in general, even though it's not like Travis Scott where it sounds psychedelic or whatever. It just puts you in a very particular mood and sets a very dark setting when you're listening to these albums. Sometimes he's a little lighthearted every now and then, especially this one though, the Arm & Hammer.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. So
a lot of dark humor on it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like we're in a very dark time. So it really fit my mind state because it was like he was just making light of everything that's dark. Like he was just like, you know, certain lines on this. It was like, Lord help me. I feel like the RZA, this is what I get for helping you niggas. He said something about something about porch Negroes. Like, I don't know why he just doesn't give a fuck. And I love it. They're unconventional. Both their flows are super unconventional. If you're looking for something that puts you in a certain mind state, it might be a little different. If you don't like it, I get it. If you do like it, join the team.
AC, did you listen to it? No, AC did not. AC wants to do his number three.
He's
AC,
like, fuck that shit. Fuck
AC,
that
what is your number three? Oh, you want me to go? Oh, okay. So for my number three, this is really tough. It's really tough to put this guy at number three because I love him so much. So much that some would say I'd put him above Tupac. Young Thug and Chris Brown delivered my number three album of the year in Slime & V. Even though it's not really an album, it's a mixtape. It's my number three, though. Number three, though.
Young Thug and Chris Brown, number three.
The trap R&B okay. fusion for the number three.
That is ridiculous.
I absolutely loved this album when it dropped, bro. This album is literally, for me, Chris Brown's revival. I think it would be a fair assessment for me to say that Indigo was a flop. For the pop singer, I think that it was way too long. I think he's had way too many long projects up to this point. Now he finally has put his talents together with Young Thug. Young Thug is basically one of the leads in like this whole sing rap fusion type shit that's going on. Young Thug is on the forefront. He's in the forefront of Atlanta. Everybody is following basically what Young Thug does. And he teamed up with Chris Brown. I thought this was a great project to team up on. There is no misses, not ace. Actually, hold on.
Don't tell me you got a Young Thug album. You tell me there's not a single miss.
Okay, there is some misses. There is some misses. It was 47 minutes, 13 songs long. The only misses are the ones that just have Chris Brown on them. Sorry. Chris Brown, you can't keep my attention that long. Sorry. Young Thug on every single one, his deliveries, his lyrical content, everything just enhances what Chris Brown does and vice versa. I think that the trap beats throughout were all hits. My favorite one was Say You Love Me, the opener track. It just hits you like that. Then you got Go Crazy right after there, which is basically like the lead top track on this. I think that, yeah, I don't think that there's anything that they missed on this. I think that they really pushed that R&B and rap fusion forward with this project, mixing the ATL rap with R&B this time. You know, you got one of the best R&B artists of all time And you got Young Thug, one of the best trap artists of all time. Solid. Solid. These niggas look like they hate me right now. They hate me.
You're really showing your age, man. You really showing your age.
I am 1 year younger than you, if that. If that.
No.
You really if that.
He's like, I can't sit with you, nigga. He's like, we ain't that close in age if you putting this.
I don't know. Ray, I don't want to speak for you, but I have nothing to say to you, Deadly. Like, I mean, I'm really just about to go into my top three because I really just cannot say.
You don't have any thoughts on the project, nigga? Jesus Christ.
Like, it's Young Thug, bro. I mean, I'm surprised.
What about him?
Like, I really feel like you put him in your top three solemnly. No, you're different. I think people would put him in their top three, top five, I mean, solemnly on the fact that he's, you know, influenced a lot of younger artists, and that's why people give him the fame that he has. I'm not saying he has no skill and no ability to make a hit song, but top five album, no, like I'm just not seeing it.
I think So Much Fun was a top five album of 2019 too. So I mean, whatever, man. Wow. Dude, no love for the Thug fans.
I like that album, but this one. I thought it was solid. I was with you, Deadly. You remember we were going to review it, and I thought it was a solid project. It just didn't get as much love I expected besides certain tracks. Like, I think Go Crazy was the hit off this album.
Yep.
And that song was hard, too.
It was solid. But he just – I feel like Chris Brown is past his prime. He's not really doing anything crazy, especially with this project. I feel like he tries to rap. And, like, Young Thug could have did more for me. You know, I like Young Thug. I like what he brings to the table, and I feel like it damn near was mainly Chris Brown carrying the project. As far as, like, he did a lot of the big things on here, and Young Thug was almost like an additive, which is fine, but...
Yeah, it definitely seemed like Chris Brown's project a little bit more than it was Young Thug's, but to get Young Thug on here and give that much that he did was enough for me. And I think the lyrical content throughout was just something that I really, you know, connected with in general,
especially got hoes.
I got hoes. Yeah, exactly. So City Girls and Go Crazy, definitely like two insanely personal, relatable songs to me. So I think that also plays in part into why it was so much up. And, you know, this is literally like two of these songs on here. Those two songs are my song with one of my bitches. So it's like, sorry, had to put it on there.
Okay, all right, Deadly's done. All right, so AC, top three. My top three, he was going way too long off of some Young Thug. So my top three, look, all right, so I was going to, I'm telling you, last minute changes, the last minute change. And y'all not going to like my change, but this is my personal opinion. So I took my top three from The Price of Tea in China to Fly God is an Awesome God too. I changed it. I had to change it. I like this album too much to not have it in my top five.
Hey, okay. Hold up. Can I say something?
No, you spoke too much about
it. Can I say something real quick? Fuck this nigga.
Okay. So the reason let me tell you the reason why I changed it. Okay. I feel like I don't connect with Boldy as much as y'all do. And I don't connect with Boldy as much as I do a West Side Gun. I don't like, when I say connect, I mean his sound. I think Boldy is like, to me, he's a grimy rapper and he has a cool sound. But to me, I like West Side sound better than Boldy. But that doesn't say that The Price of Tea in China wasn't hard. It was hard. But let's break down Fly God is a Monster God 2. I mean, from the get, this album was just, it was fire. It was flaming. Like, you know, you got Michael Irwin, like Jose Canseco. I'm just saying, it was fire. I was feeling it. But then let's keep on going down. Let's keep on going down the track list. Then you get down to Lil C's. Do I have to remind y'all how hard that track was? How hard the feature was? Armani Caesar came in and murdered the track. Mm-hmm. Completely killed it. Like, yep. I mean, flames, right? So let's keep going down. So we got Buffs versus Wires. That solid track. You had Boldy James on there and Benny the Butcher. So y'all had two amazing features. Killed it again alongside West Side Gun. Then I'm going to skip all the way down. I'm going to go to the ending. The ending was amazing. I love the ending of this album. It was just well put together, piece by piece, Flames. I had to take this and put it in my top five.
Okay, that's cool. It's cool and all AC, but I'm going to have to cut you off right there and tell you that Pray for Paris was a better album than Fly God is an Awesome God, too.
Agreed.
Wait till the list keeps going, you know what I'm saying? So we
– this nigga got Fly – he got West Side in there twice.
Don't spoil it. Hey, that's dope that you messing with West Side Gun like that, though, because I love West Side Gun. He about to drop another project.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like he's working really hard this year. He's been doing his thing, and people have been showing him love. So I agree with that.
And I feel like when you got the flame like that, you got some love and you got some people behind you. This is when you just need to roll with it. Don't, saturate the market with, album after album after album. But, I mean, if he putting out heat album after album after album, then keep putting out heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
but just know when you're just putting out stuff to be putting out stuff versus you putting out good quality music. But so far, I have to say he's been putting out pretty good quality music. So that's why I appreciate it. But
agreed. Okay.
I mean, I get it, y'all. I knew y'all was gonna be mad about me doing the switch up because the price of tea in China was great too. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I see y'all faces. Y'all faces just like ready to attack. But even with my number three being the change up, I still think my three was 10 times better than Dead Leaves.
Fuck no. Slime and B is definitely better than Fly God is an Awesome God too. Just off of just replay value alone, yes. Yes.
I wouldn't go that far, Dead Leaves. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But I fuck with that. I can respect that, AC. I can respect that change. It's really a difference in vibes and what you like as far as their flows go and stuff.
Facts. So Ray, we got your number three. What's your three?
My number three is Quelle Chris and Chris Keys, okay. Innocent Country 2.
Yeah, we saw that coming too.
Oh my, so y'all see my whole list. That's what you're saying. Yeah, all
right. Bro, I basically got it on the Google Doc right here. I'm just reading it.
Well,
say it.
Well, that's because I think y'all can tell when I'm really excited by an album when I review it. And that my reviews, like my stance sometimes changes on albums, but it usually changes in the sense that if I really like the album, I stick with it. It really like sticks with me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a project that stuck with me. Living Happy, Sacred Safe, Horizon. Like I feel like Sacred every Safe. like some of the tracks are long, and the project is 1 hour and 4 minutes, so it's a longer project. But I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it all flows. I feel like Quelle Chris is doing a roll. Even like Sudden Death, Black Twitter, like talking about like how we use words and how we do certain things and people bite off it and it's ours and we have really our side of Twitter. Like I love that he made a track about that. Like I feel like he's really connected with internet culture. And I feel like his relaxed, laid-back flow over these Bay Area. I mean, they're not necessarily Bay Area beats, but shout out to Chris Keys because he's from the Bay and he's doing his thing. He really killed a lot of the production on this project. I just feel like Quelle Chris is in his own lane. He's starting to – I mean, he already was, like, really good in the underground, but he's starting to really differentiate himself and, like, be a top tier. Like, now whenever he's dropping, I'm just checking for it off top just because when he's a feature, I know he's going to kill it off top because he really has his own sound and stuff. Like, it's – unorthodox flow sometimes, and he can also do a regular flow and just kill it, so that's what I love about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely solid production throughout the whole album. I really like the album. I liked it better than Guns. It came out last year. I did like Guns though. I like Guns. The Guns was a really good album to listen to while I was in the gym. But yeah, Innocent Country was just, it felt more grand, it felt more thoughtfully put together than anything else that Kelly has put together at this point. And a lot of favorite tracks you had are pretty much mine, so dope shit. It's your number three, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, rightfully deserves to be up there.
Yeah, number three. So it was battling for the second spot.
Yeah, I'm not gonna rag on you for it like AC's gonna rag on me, but whatever.
Hey wait, AC, did you listen to Innocent Country too? I think you should. You probably would like it because it's a really chill vibe. You can listen to it while you're doing stuff. It's like an underground artist. He's He's not too – I feel like he's not too weird, though. Like, I mean, some of his stuff might be – but I feel like you could vibe with some of the stuff, especially because some of the beats get a little – not necessarily funky, but they get a little groovy.
Right on. I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Two?
As for number two.
Well, I'll go to number two since y'all already know. So, Pray for Paris. That's my number two. That's my number two. West Side Gun. He had it again. He had it again. I mean, should we break down? Should I break down the track list? Should I break it down?
Just a little bit, yeah, because you know there's some really great tracks that.
Oh, there was really great tracks. I mean, you know, you got 3-2-7. I mean, I just don't want to go. I'm just going to be saying the track list like all the way down.
You love 3-2-7, don't you? Especially that part where he's talking about painting his fingernails, that glitter on the fingernail that like hits you hard, huh?
Okay, Deadly.
He's like, he's done.
Toast, you know what I'm saying? Hey.
Nigga, George Bondo? Shit.
Of course. Come on now. I mean, he just had the tracks. Like, the tracks was hitting. Even when he was singing, y'all was hating on me for saying I like this little singing track. And he openly admitted with the skit. He's like, I'll admit, I'm not a singer. I mean, like, he know he not a singer, but he stepped out of his comfort zone and did something different. That, you know what I'm saying? A lot of artists, you know, they stick into their confine and they know they can't sing. But unlike, you know, West Side Gun said, look, I'm going to step out and try something different. I enjoyed the sound. I enjoyed the album. I think it has some great replay value. Yeah, you know, I like his – he's gritty. He has a unique voice. His voice, I think his voice definitely adds like some trouble, and it has some sort of like just like meaning of like just hard times. He went through something. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. just, I mess with West Side Gun. So that's
what yeah. Somebody or guy in the back, can you copyright gritty when describing music for us? Because that's our favorite word to describe people. Just is gritty. Yeah, I mean, we listen to a lot of gritty artists, so.
True.
So, I agree, though. I love that project. That was my favorite West Side Gun project of the year. I really love the features on this album in general. Conway killed it. Tyler killed it. Joey killed it. Wale killed it. Benny killed it. Freddie killed it. Boldy killed it. Like, everybody killed it on this. And he had a cool little Jay Versace. Oh, wait. Was this one produced by Jay Versace? No, but he had one song. He had one song. The Versace track was by Jay Versace. So, yeah. So, all of the collaborations he worked with on this one were really good. And the fact that he can put out this good music this consistently back to back to back is phenomenal. And I really like the album. It was kind of like teetering with me with Price T in China, just whereas my favorite Griselda project of the year. So obviously it's a little bit lower for me as compared to what I have next. So
yeah, I liked it. I love this project. George Bondo, 3-2-7, 500 ounces. Sean versus Flair. Like, I feel like West Side Gun, this was a grand project and it all clicked. He tried something different. He got Tyler on there. Tyler killed it. Like, this project was up there, especially at the beginning of the year. It's just, it's not just anything, actually. I just love that he keeps dropping quality projects. Even though we were hating on Fly Guys, the Awesome Guy, too, a little bit, it's a solid project. Like, he hasn't really missed yet, and we'll see what his next project coming up.
Mm. Anyways, where were we? We going into number two, right?
Yeah.
All right, so AC just gave us his number two. I'll go with mine first. So my number two is Unlocked by Denzel Curry and Kenny Beats. Man, what an amazing project. I don't know what else I can say. This is just an amazing project. Yeah, it was 18 minutes long, only 8 songs. It had a cartoon series that went along with it. The visuals were amazing, that they completely amplified this entire project. The beats on this are so outlandish and so kind of just like crazy, but at the same time they come in and they're hard as fuck. Take It Back is the hardest song of the year in general, as far as just like somebody coming in and spitting. Like, you could say Diet is too, but like, man, I don't know, what's a better intro than like Frederick Douglass, it's time to pick my brain apart, looking at the menu, motherfucker, I'm the man with art. Like, come on, bro. That's hard as shit, bro.
Went in.
He really did throughout. Kenny was showing his prowess. I love Kenny. Anything that Kenny has produced this year, from the SmiNo tracks to this album to whatever else Kenny's been doing. But I've just loved everything that he's done. And, you know, Denzel, if it's not this, it's Blood In, Blood Out, the mixtape that he gave us on YouTube exclusively. He just has such a way of mixing genres and just going hard. He's literally the hardest rapper there is, just as far as delivery goes. So you want something that's going to just, you know, something to vibe with, something to knock your head with, like this is it, this is what you want. It's only 18 minutes. Like,
yeah, definitely concise, straight to the point. Denzel, as y'all know, he's one of my favorites. He's been killing it for years. It's been great to see him come up and get the props he deserves, and he didn't miss. He just kept going hard. I feel like Kenny set him up. He threw him a lob, and every time he just dunked that shit with ferocity. It was ferocious. He didn't, like you said, Take It Back was a hard-ass intro. And then you had Lay Up. Like, it just flows. All the tracks flowing one another really well. He shows his versatility as far as different flows goes, and he also shows that you throw a beat in front of him, he's just gonna kill it. And that's what this project basically just showed. It's not any extra doing the most, trying to like necessarily do something different. It's just dope ass bars, dope ass beats, dope visuals to support it. It was put together pretty nicely, the whole theme of like someone stealing an unreleased project and them having to go and get it back. It was kind of, it just flowed. Even the little like skits, it was dope.
Yeah. Please roll me up another dank, another smoke, though I see it as the antidote to cure my daily anecdotes. I see my thoughts as adios. Finito. Yep. Come on, bro. Come on.
Definitely. It was crazy. Bro.
Come on. He's got so many quotables in this short 18 minutes. I think this is like the highest percentage of quotables in per minute that I've seen out of any project.
Yeah. It's no time to miss. That's what I'm saying. Like, he literally gave himself no time to mess up, and he didn't. So,
yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. All right. What's your number two?
My number two is Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist Alfredo.
Oh, Alfredo. Shit. We gone. Well, I think AAC giving you that look, like that's what he got next. So
yeah,
might as well just jump into that right after this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, AC, go ahead. Give me your number one then, because you looking excited.
So my one, I think we're going to have some, maybe. Alfredo's number one. Freddie Gibbs. He got the number one spot. Number one slot. He got number one slot for me. So, I mean, let's break this one down too. Freddie Gibbs is an artist that, I mean, you can just feel when he's rapping. Like, I feel like I'm riding with him, selling crack when he's rapping. Like, he puts you in the story. He like he paints the picture, and it's so visual. Like, you can visualize it. Like, I'm slanging a rock with him. Like, that's what I feel like. He really knows how to paint the picture, and like, when you're listening to it in your headphones, you feel like you're in the moment. And I appreciate that. I think he has amazing tracks on this album. I think he had great features. I think it would, hold on, let me go to the track list. I just think, you know, he came hard with it. It wasn't too long. It wasn't over, you know, it wasn't overly long. It wasn't drawn out. I think it was a perfect amount of tracks on there. It was good. It was concise. It got to the point. It was gritty. It was all you needed. Like, it was all you needed, jam-packed into 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just going to say this is my number one as well. This is the only 10 out of 10 project of this year to me in general. There's literally not a single part where Freddie lags on this whole album. The features come and kill it every single time. I couldn't stop listening to this album when it first came out. It's literally 35 minutes. I think Kanye had really set perfect time amount for albums when he released KSG in, what was that, 2018, 2017. He released KSG. This 35 minute mark is just so perfect for albums. You only need like 10 tracks and they only need to be like 3 minutes, like that's perfect. It really shouldn't be any longer than that. He's concise. He's to the point. He gives you bars after bars after bars. And then you got Alchemist, who is producing this. We were just talking about Boldy James with Alchemist. So now you got Freddie Gibbs on there. Of course, Freddie's going to come kill that shit. So I don't know what it is. Alchemist is just insane this year. My favorite track is either Something to Rap About or Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas is the grittiest, hardest, nastiest rap song of this year with Benny the Butcher. And Something to Rap About is really just, he's trying to find something to rap about. Just having fun, something to rap about. Good vibes. Whole shit, man. Whole shit is amazing. Love this album.
Yeah, I feel like Freddie Gibbs hasn't missed recently at all, even with his solo projects. And every time he works with a producer, he finds a way to make it cohesive, either straight to the point, even if it's a longer project. He doesn't really miss because he always knows what to bring as far as bars-wise. He makes his features on their A-game because if you slacking with Freddie, you're going to look bad. Something to rap about, again, Tyler. Tyler back on his rap shit. And I love when Tyler's on his rap shit. So I wanted to rap album from Tyler now because Igor, even though he did rap on it, it was mixed up. So He showed that he can hang with the best of them on these recent features. Mm-hmm. And that was a highlight track. I just think Alchemist is not missing. So him and Freddie together, that's a home run. Grand slam. No misses. Nothing else I can say. I don't blame both of y'all for having this as your number one project because it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So, well, since me and AC have already talked about our number ones, Ray, I want to know what you have as your number one.
My number one is Run the Jewels, RTJ4.
RTJ.
So, if you know me, I'm a big-ass Run the Jewels fan. Ever since Run the Jewels 1, I've been with them.
He's got the hoodies. He's got the
merch. I've been messing with their vibe, their energy. Killer Mike and LP or something crazy together. And I feel like every album, they at least develop more chemistry and trying to do different things. From one where it was just LP making beats and then Killer Mike just hopping on them and bringing his own vibe, to two where they just perfectly meshed. I feel like they had developed chemistry and they really worked on that one. And then three where it kind of dropped, and then this one where it came back full force. They took a little break, a much needed break, I feel like, because they were dropping every year at one point. And they showed that they can do something different while keeping their vibe. The features, they got different features. They got like 2 Chainz, Pharrell.
2 Chainz.
Like, I was surprised at how well those worked. And then they also kept it trill because they got Greg Nice, DJ Premier on Ooh La La. Everyone know that's the hit.
They got Joshua.
Gangsta Boo. She pops up on Walking in the Snow, and she killed her verse on RTJ2. So that was dope as hell to see her pop up again. They got Zach De La Rocha again, so they kept it like to their essence, but they also switched it up and did different stuff, and that's why I love this project.
Okay. I mean, I really liked it too. I think there was a lot of insightful political commentary throughout. I think that the bars in general were just crazy. The stuff that they were doing were, like, especially on Ooh La La, it's crazy to see a track like that be the number one hit off of the project because it just seems so obscure. A lot of the songs on here are very obscure. But yeah, no, Walking in the Snow, Ooh La La, Out of Sight. I think 2 Chainz really went so well with them, which is crazy to me. So yeah, just definitely picked it up from where they left off on RTJ3, because I remember I wasn't a super huge Run the Jewels fan. And you were like, oh man, RTJ3 is coming out, man. You got to check it out. And I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. And I checked it out and I was like, man, this ain't that good. And obviously it is like the worst, at least to me, out of all of them. So that's where I started out from. And I definitely think that they took a step back up and they elevated themselves back to a top, like either 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 level on this project. So
Yeah, that's what's like. They brought back the energy. They brought back that, especially I think during the time, because you know, this was also dropped around when Arm & Hammer dropped. So it's both revolutionary, talking about current times, capitalism, you know, literally. Walking in the Snow, Killer Mike was just damn near just preaching, talking to you about what's going on, but it rhymed and it just was so, like, impactful. Like, they switched it up on here and it was so dope to see them come back after this break and just say, you know what, we gonna come back like we never left.
Mm-hmm.
Get 2 Chainz, like you said, and just like who expect 2 Chainz on the Run the Jewels project? He did a good ass job. Pharrell, that song Just, that, I see that being damn near played on the radio, even though I don't see it being played on the radio. It's kind of weird for them. I can see that being played on the radio. It was crazy seeing him work with Pharrell, and it just come off so naturally. Like, that hook, look at all these slave masters. Like, oh.
Put it on your dollar. Get it.
Get it. Like, that's what I mean. So, I love this project. I don't know if it's going to be my number one at the end of the year, but right now it's still getting play for me almost daily. Almost daily, yeah.
Wow. Well, high praise for that.
Oh, we were supposed to do honorable mentions. I mean, I guess we could just do it after.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just do it right now.
Okay.
So let me know. What's your honorable mentions? How many? I give you 3 max. Just give me 3 if you have 3.
Okay. I got it. Honorable. Okay. So my honorable mentions were Ka, Descendants of Cain. I love this project. It was damn near fighting with Boldy James. It's definitely going to be in my top 10. Like, I've been loving that project. I wanted to review it, but y'all niggas was sleeping. And then my next one was West Side Gun Pay for Paris. I was giving that a lot of play. It just didn't make it. And then my other one was Denzel Curry and Kenny Beats Unlocked. I was playing that so much at the beginning of the year, but it just fell off because there were so many full length projects. I'm not saying this way, but it was so many long projects that didn't also have misses for me that I just play a lot more at this point in the year.
Yeah, kind of disappointed that Unlocked wasn't on your list. However, understandable. Number 2 album of the year, by the way. Anyways, for me, the stuff that I think that could have made it definitely was Circles. AC had mentioned Circles. I loved Circles when it dropped. I still love Circles now. Another one that I was going to put on my list, but I felt it would be unfair, was 2019's Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial by Roddy Ricch. Best album of 2019. I don't care what you have to say. I really don't at all.
This nigga, man.
I love that album. I love that album so much. I love that album more than I love Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs. So that's how much you should know. I love that album. Anyways. Last honorable mention, you know, this one was really tough. It was really fighting for the 5th spot for me. Blame It on Baby.
What are you playing, or are you dead ass?
I'm 100% joking.
Okay. I was about to say.
Yeah. No, we're not. Nah. Blame It on Baby ain't on there. This. No.
What is it? Or else I'm going to say Blame It on Baby is actually on there.
Hold on. I love it. Let me look real quick. one that obviously I really loved in the beginning of the year was AG Club's Halfway Off the Porch. Great album, love that album. Local album, definitely check it out. Send them a couple more streams on Memphis. Memphis is their top song. I think there's some better songs on there. You should go dig for yourself. You should go check that out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really appreciate.
Shout out to the visuals for Hangover. I think that was my favorite track.
Yeah.
And I love that they finally did visuals too, for that. So, shout out to them for that.
Took a while for Hangover, man. Hangover was definitely one of my favorite tracks from the beginning.
Who do you think you... That shit is so... That shit is dope. I love it when they get into their kind of feelings back.
Shit, Jody got some real shit when he's spitting most of, like, pretty much every time.
I already told you, my Jody has been my favorite member, so it's great to see him getting some shine too and some love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, that's a conclusion for honorable mentions and all that. So,
okay. Who wants to say their top 5 in order?
Just give your top 5 in order.
Oh, so my top 5 in order: Circles, A Written Testimony, Fly God Is an Awesome God 2, Pray for Paris, and Alfredo.
I've got High Off Life, Future, The Price of Tea of China, Boldy James, Slime and B, Chris Brown, and Young Thug, Unlocked, Denzel Curry and Kenny Beats, Alfredo, Freddie Gibbs, and The Alchemist. That's my 5.
Your boy Ray, this is my top 5 altogether. 5, Boldy James and Alchemist, The Price of Tea of China. 4, Arm & Hammer, Shrines. 3, Quelle Chris and Chris Keith, Innocent Country 2. 2, Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist, Alfredo. And 1, Run the Jewels, RTJ 4.
I knew that was in there.
You had to know. You had to know.
Of course. I called it. I said it in the beginning. Check the record.
You want to talk about anticipated? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's yeah. Let's go give our anticipated albums.
Our anticipated. Who do we want to
Who do you need an album from yeah. right fucking now?
This year. Like, what's going on, bro? You want me to start one?
Nah, nigga. I need to go in real quick.
Go in.
This motherfucking bitch ass nigga, Isaiah Rashad. You that motherfucking album right now, nigga. Right fucking now. I need no more features from you. I listened to fucking who was that? Some nigga, some random ass,
two random ass nigga,
just so I could get a feature out of you, bro. Like, fucking hell, drop the album. I need your own music. Not
you got, Kenny Beats premiering or previewing music on his stream with you in the background, teasing, playing fire. You ain't dropped nothing besides Why Worry, which was an old throwaway track. He's slipping TDE, Punch, whoever got this. Man's music on hold. Let him at least drop a single.
They was killing Punch on Twitter. They was killing
He's slipping up right now.
It's true. It's getting real bad out here for TDE.
Yeah, because SZA called him out, and I think Isaiah, I think he's basically done, and he's just waiting, or they're mastering. I don't know, but obviously something's being done. Like, they're holding it for some reason, so let the gates loose. Drop Kendrick, you already know, leading on to that, Kendrick.
Yeah, I mean,
Kendrick was supposed to have been dropped, but, you know, COVID slowed it down. But it's like, just drop a single, bro. Just drop a single. Give me that. I need a single. I need something from Kendrick. I need an album. That's anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. You could ask me the day after a Kendrick album drops. Hey, Deadly, you need a new Kendrick project? Yes, nigga, I need a new Kendrick project. Give me about 10 of them. Give me 10. Give me 10 more.
Once he drops, we ain't getting one for like 3-4 more years.
Like, Jesus Christ, man. Your discography is so small compared to all my other favorite artists. Like, come on. Yeah.
But I mean, when he drops, it's damn near a movement every time. So we'll see. But hopefully, that's the only thing. If he takes this on the drop and it's not another movement, it's going to be like, damn. Like, what happens? So we'll see. I'm hoping. We'll see what happens. The rumors have been positive as far as like he's going to do something crazy. Speaking of another TD SZA, I want another SZA drop. I want SZA.
Ben needed that.
Yep.
Last time she released, I was in high school, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Same. Dude, I'm an old ass nigga at this point, so it's like you need Jesus to drop Christ. Something.
Please.
You need to drop something. Yeah.
I need another person I need to drop. Just so I can know, I can have peace of mind if this nigga is trash or not. I need Playboi Carti to drop an album right now.
Yeah. Playboi.
Please, yeah. Bro.
I don't know what he's doing. He dropped that weird middle, like, not weird middle. He dropped that weird letdown of a single.
Bro, what the fuck was that? Why would he drop? He dropped At Me or At Me and then just disappeared again. Again. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. He's chilling. He just had a kid. He's like, I don't need to drop music. I got my thick white hoe. I'm gone.
Iggy Azalea, if you don't give back Playboi Carti right now.
Damn near, bro.
We about to come for you.
He gone at this point. Who else am I anticipating? I'm anticipating the new West Side Gun, but that comes out pretty soon. But still, I'm anticipating that. Imani Caesar was supposed to drop. I don't know what happened. So I'm anticipating that because she dropped. She's been killing the little single she dropped was fire, and the features she's been doing have been dope.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else who did drop pretty recently. But I was excited to get a new drop from him because I was listening to that IDK and Friends 2 is Maxo Cream. I want Maxo Cream to drop another project.
Yes.
Yeah. His last one was really, really fucking good. Murder Block is one of my favorite songs of 2019.
Okay.
That album went really fucking hard. So
yeah,
Bulletproof wasn't enough for me, man. You could drop something else.
Damn near, yeah. I mean, of course. We both smart ass niggas, so we want that new J. Cole. I mean, I like the singles he dropped, so
man.
I need a new J. Cole.
I need Kanye. Something to ponder while I'm smoking my joint, man.
I need a new Kanye. I need that Donda. I just want to see where he's going at this point after all this drama and all this delay. Like, I'm anticipating. I don't know about y'all, but Donda, I'm looking forward to.
Definitely, bro.
Yeah, like it's a bunch of people still that still need to drop. Trying to look.
You know who could drop right now?
Who?
And I wouldn't be mad.
Who?
Shit, Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, he's been dropping singles. Did you hear the new one with Rick Ross?
Yeah, I did.
It was solid. Yeah. So I want an Anderson .Paak album because he's been killing it, especially with Downtown.
Oh, and Kelly Uchis is gonna drop one soon too.
That's gonna be dope because that little EP was solid.
The EP was cool. The last I don't know
if Jid's gonna drop this year, but if he does, I mean, with the way he's been killing feature stuff, I at least want a single or something. Like, give me something to end the year.
Jid is just, I don't know, man. He's next up. He is all the way next up. Like, he is at the front of the line to be next up. As soon as he drops this album, the top is going to explode on the Jid fan base, whatever. Like, you think he has fans now? Wait till this next album come out. Then he's really going to get that recognition. Because I've been feeling like the anticipation building up for like him to get this recognition. He dropped DiCaprio 2. I think a lot of people was fucking with that, but not enough. And then he started to do stuff on the Revenge of the Dreamers album 3, and people were really fucking with that. But like, he hasn't given us an album since then for people to really be like, "Oh, this guy, this is the one. This nigga's on his shit." Because this nigga is on his shit. Every time he makes a song, I don't care what it is, he's rapping his ass off. It's good music every single time. He flows on anything. Yeah, anything. Give him any beat.
Yeah. You know who else I'm hyped for that you might not be as hyped?
Snow Allegra.
How did you know? You read my mind, Snow Allegra. I need that album. I need that album, Queen. I need that album, man.
You know what, viewers? You know what Rayla really needs instead of that album?
No, get out of here. He needs
some of that ass, bro.
No, don't.
Every time I see a picture of Snow Allegra, I see at least 3 comments from this man.
Why are you capping?
Proposing.
You gonna lie on me?
Y'all can tell me if that's fact or fiction.
All right.
Fact or fiction?
When you need me, don't be singing. Rico Nasty, I want her to drop something. She's been dropping a little singles, even though I haven't really vibed with all the singles. I still anticipate her release because you know she's always dropped something solid at least usually.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that YG was going to drop, but you seen what he dropped, right?
Swag.
No. The Do It for Bompton EP. Oh, yeah. He did have swag. Yeah, it was on there.
He dropped a little EP this year?
Bro, but it wasn't a real EP. It was, look, it's got BPT, Swag, 666, I Was on the Block, Really Be Smoking and Drinking, and I Just Want to Party. This was on the EP.
Yeah.
He just rebranded songs and put them on here.
I don't know.
I thought he was going to drop.
Me personally, I haven't been excited. I wasn't really excited. So, like, because the singles haven't been that hot to me. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Anybody else that you can really think of?
I'm trying to go through my shit and see.
This nigga been listening to Sugar Trap too.
Why are you guys? Luda Human. Always checking. He dropped. Yeah, he dropped. He's been dropping. He dropped like a little single. I don't know if he's gonna drop an album this year, but I want to hear another project from him because that last project was a letdown.
Oh, is this Sada Baby new? Oh, this just came out, didn't it?
Oh, God. He cool. I just don't trust him.
Scuba Sada too.
JPEG Mafia, yo, he's been dropping dope little singles. I don't know if he's gonna drop a project, but I'd be hyped for a project.
Yep.
You know, that's my boy. He might sneak into my top 5 if he dropped, depending on what it is. Georgia Smith, if she dropped.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's not. I don't think
she. I mean, she's cool. Like, I love Georgia Smith, but she fell behind. She hasn't released music in a while. Like, oh, you know who I actually want, though?
Who?
Fuck Georgia right now. I need 21 Savage and Metro Boomin to get they off they ass and show me what Savage Mode really mean, nigga.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that would be dope.
It's Savage Mode 2 time. Like, it's been Savage Mode, Savage Mode 2 time.
I don't know what they're doing. They keep hyping that or, like,
sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. That 21's weird with his music drops, too. Because he'd say he's going to drop, and then he just doesn't do anything. It just acts like it's cool. I'm excited for the Gorillaz because they've been dropping dope little singles. So when that drops, we're going to be talking about that. That might be it for me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we also got Absol and
I mean, that's gimme. I mean, I know we said Kendrick just because this boy is playing games.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, okay. Those aren't gimme. Schoolboy, hell yes. Absol, hell yes, because he's taking a minute. He needs to drop something. Death Grips. I need Death Grips. I need, even though they haven't hinted at anything, it's anticipated for me no matter what throughout any time of the year. I need Death Grips.
We're gonna
Lee, don't try to change it. You're going to have to talk about Death Grips with me, bro.
That's fine. But I'm going to say you forgot who – you know who I forgot to talk about for my honorable mention?
Who?
The Circus by Mick Jenkins.
Oh, that was a solid EP. Yeah, I fucked with that EP.
That was really solid.
Yeah.
Carefree is one of the best tracks.
I forgot about it.
I low-key did too, but I still go back to it. I still listen to it.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Damn. Yeah, Same Old and Carefree, those are two great opening tracks, man.
Yeah, crazy.
Shit. All right, man. Well, I guess that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about all we're going to do. So, all right, y'all. So, that's our top five. Y'all can let us know who got the best top five. Obviously, it's Deadly. But, you know, for the sake of being, you know, fair, like democratic, y'all go ahead and vote for it. We'll put in the link who has the best top five. We'll put under the tweet who's got the best top five.
Check the poll. Check the polls.
Check the polls. Check the polls. Let us know. Give us some feedback. So that's about it for today's podcast. We'll come back at y'all with some brand new topics next time, pretty shortly. And thanks for fucking with us.
Babies. Thank y'all.
Peace.
Peace.